Welcome to Reality NSFW. Alex Trias and myself are here while Johnny Fairplay is in Nashville, Tennessee with two of our wonderful friends, Figgy and Libby, and I hope they're having a great time. Johnny's been posting all day at the place that they're watching on this huge screen. So what a fun episode tonight to be able to watch with fans. So Johnny, I hope you guys are having a blast at the party. Alex and I holding it down. And man, this was a very powerful episode. I cried multiple times. I'm a real sensitive man, which I think is why I got ultimately cast on Survivor to begin with. You know, I'm the kind of guy that like cries. That show Extreme Makeover Home Edition that used to play or the family visit always gets me. And so yeah, there's many times tonight, dude, that were just like real powerful and moving. And I had my kind of, you know, earlier on in the season, there were things that I was like, do I really want to have this be an agenda, or I don't like all the twists,
and, right?
You know, there's too much just production and Jeff Probst wanting to make the season so crazy that it just takes away from the players themselves. But I tell you what, man, the players themselves are great. I really dug this episode. So my first reaction is like, I dug it. I do not like the big twist of tonight. I think it was unfair and stupid. And just things like that, like we saw with the hourglass, that was kind of stupid. I'm not real stoked on that. What's your initial reactions of the episode as a whole and the twist itself?
So I think me and you are of the same ilk here. I am also someone who's very in touch with my emotions. Yeah. And I felt this episode was still very powerful. I also just like the fact that Liana literally almost said verbatim everything I've been saying on the podcast for the last several weeks about like why real life comes into Survivor and why people really shouldn't. Like, I understand the people who like, they want to watch the game. They want to see the gameplay. They want to see the moves. They want to see the tribe. Like, but the issue is for those that are real from day one Survivor people, I'm not even a day one Survivor person, but I was also like three when it first started. It's like, it was also meant, yes, it was a game, but it was also meant to be a microcosm of society and seeing what happens when you play a bunch of people who aren't the same and some people who are the same in a box or in the jungle and see what happens and how those dynamics come and what conversations happen because of it. So episode I thought was great. The twist fucking sucked. I didn't come here to watch Deal or No Deal. Yeah. And that was Jeff Probst's like attempt to be Howie Mandel. And I'm like, this is, I hope they're not going to get a lot of reaction from this because of the fact that Deshaun was saved by it. But I really hope this is something that they do not bring back. To me, it's of the same thing as the hourglass. It saved someone who was going home. And it saved someone because either they weren't, the hourglass not being picked for the challenge, and for this one, because you sucked at a challenge. So I'm like,
yeah, in the game of this twist, which, you know, for those, you know, you had obviously the immunity challenge, but there was a twist where you could sit out and not have to partake in this potential twist, or the first person out of the immunity challenge is part of this deal where it's kind of like, hey, it's a game of chance and it's going to play out at tribal. And if you lose the game of chance, you immediately go home. And if you survive, then they actually have to do tribal council.
And you're safe.
That's right. And you're safe. So what I think about this is like, I've played the Durham Warriors at the time. It was called the Durham Warriors Survival Challenge of Bob Crowley's. Okay. Yeah. It was a 3-day or 4-day game of just like Survivor. And it was super fun. It was really fast paced and it was awesome. I've done it twice. If there was this game of chance in one of these like online reality games or one of these like fake, you know, play Survivor, like as a fan right. game, I'm fine with that. Hey, wow, cool.
Oh, yeah.
But in this game, for $1 million and you are trying your ass off to get to the end of the game and outwit, outplay, and outlast, well, is it, do you now add like the word, you know, outluck in there?
Right. Because, like that, that's the issue.
You know, so it's like, I feel that the twist is, you know, it was like, oh my, when the twist happened at Tribal Council, which like I said, we'll get to when we talk about it, it was like, oh my God, wow, holy shit. But it's still, I got that reaction, but only because of the circumstances. I didn't even want the twist to happen to begin with.
You know what stinks though? What stinks for me is, just because I know how timing works on this show, mm-hmm. I knew when they were doing, I'm like, well, he's going to be safe. There's still going to be like a few minutes left for them to be able to actually do the vote since they did the tribal before it. So I was like, he's going to pull the flame. Mm-hmm. They're going to vote. And you have this thing now where you can focus on who talks last at tribal. There's a good shot that they're going home, or mm-hmm. if they get like a really big platform, and Liana got a huge platform mm-hmm. in this episode at tribal. So I was like, well, that almost is, assured me that she was going home, which I was good because I wanted Ricard to say mm-hmm. He's in deep shit next week, but
yeah, like, and I mean, I get why Ricard is still in the game, and I like Ricard. I think Ricard could win. Mm-hmm. So for Danny and Deshaun, you know, wanting to get out Ricard,
it's smart.
It's totally smart. But Xander is also smart by saying, if I get out Ricard, then you guys are going after me next, because I'm a great, you know, I'm a social player. I'm a, you know, player that's great in challenges. I'm well liked. If Xander mm-hmm. goes to the end,
well,
I mean,
well, here's my question for you. It's I agree. Like, this is the first episode for me personally where I watch Xander play and I'm like, oh, that's a strong move. He was able to stick to his guns. He had smart reasoning for why he wanted Ricard to stay in the game mm-hmm. For his own personal game. And there's other factors that they didn't talk about, which I feel also make a lot more sense to keep Ricard over keeping Liana. It's just, and do you think no one's targeting him just because of the fact that he has the idol? Because it didn't stop them from targeting Nasir or Shan. Like, is it the idol really? Or is it just, do they all on the island think, we can beat him at the end. It doesn't even matter if he wins challenges.
I think if they think that, that's stupid, because I mean, he's a younger player, but he's so smart and mature.
Oh, I agree.
And like we've talked, and you especially, Alex, have said, like, Xander is one of those players, like, give him like two more years of life experience and play again, and this dude is going to be one of the, I think right now he's great.
Oh yeah.
I feel maybe it seems that Ricard is such a gamer, and it was, you know, a lot of the strategy and like super hardcore gameplay was Shan and Ricard, that I think that's kind of taken the heat away from Xander. He's not as of intense as a player. So that's why I think that he's not on really anybody's radar. Obviously Heather's on no one's radar because they think can beat Heather.
Yeah, I'm about to say, like, I my prediction when I first heard what this twist was, and I'm glad I didn't tell it to you, like, you were able to see it live.
Yeah, so you knew ahead of
that,
time what
from
it
that point. There was a leak that came out about this twist, like, right after the Hourglass hit.
Okay.
And we were like, I was like, shit, like, this is gonna take out someone that we really like or something, or it takes out Heather. Like, that was like my two minds. It takes out someone that we really want to win, or it takes out Heather. Right. And so now I'm like, if it doesn't take out Heather, zero vote finalists right here for you.
Oh, yeah. Right. And one of our viewers right now that's watching live on YouTube, Christina Chong, maybe Xander wins immunity again next week and plays his idol for Ricard. Good point.
That's a good point. I thought there was a chance if he wasn't going to play his extra vote, which he did tonight, that he may have played, he would have potentially played his idol if he felt Erica wouldn't be on board with it. Because I think at this, I would like to believe Xander would be selfish enough at for his own gain to realize I don't even need to use idol for myself. If I say someone who everyone sees as this big player, that can up my stock too.
Right, totally. It, the thing is that you got to worry about with Ricard, if you're in Xander's shoes, is if that situation happened where Xander wins, gives immunity to Ricard, or whatever.
Gives the idol.
Gives the idol to Ricard. I mean, Ricard is one of those players that's showing no mercy. I think he would vote out Xander in a heartbeat. So, because he voted out Shan and they were super tight. So, I don't know. It's going to be crazy. But tonight's episode starts out, it's night 19 after Tribal Council. Yep. And Liana's pissed because she was blindsided. And she kind of approaches, you know, Deshaun and Danny and asking, like, what the hell is going on? Like, why was I not part of this plan? She was pissed, and I don't blame her. You know,
she has every right to be.
And they basically tell her it was Ricard's idea to do what. So that, you know, they're definitely trying to, you know, point the blame. You know, it's always the blame game. It's like anytime that when I got back from Tribal Council and I was a part of voting somebody out, I would have to be doing major damage control just to kind of smooth things over. It's very stressful as a viewer. You watch and like after Tribal you come back, but I tell you what, it's like Tribal is so intense when you're there doing it, and then when you come back to the beach after Tribal and the camera people are there and everyone's kind of like emotions are high,
right,
and it gets really fucking crazy. It's not like you can just be like good night everybody. It's It gets pretty insane. So
right. So what I like about this scene is I mentioned for the last few episodes for like the people that were giving Shan her hate because of the post-merge part of her game where she was trying to listen but still wanting to have her way. So it came across as if she wasn't listening and being selfish. No one was giving that same flack to Deshaun. Even though I said from the jump, I was like, I love Deshaun, I love Shan, but they're both the same person. Like they were both people who are type A. They need to be in charge. It needs to be their way. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't go their way, they say they'll listen, but they really still want to have their thing happen. Mm-hmm. And when it doesn't happen, they get a little more emotional about it.
Right.
And it really bit him here because he decided I'm gonna be emotional. I'm gonna be charged towards Ricard and really try to paint this target on Ricard. But when you act that type of way and you're more animated, especially right after a big tribal like that, mm-hmm. that just puts the target on you because all Ricard's doing is just sitting there and being calm.
Oh yeah.
Just saying exactly what he needs to say and chill.
Yeah. Which is exactly what, you know, Deshaun realizes that, man, like maybe I do need to shut up and kind of sit back when I need to. So the next day it's like Xander is happy because Xander is like, hey, I'm in a good spot. Hey, and he's talking to Erica and Heather and stuff at camp. Like, hey, like, we're tight, and he feels like his alliance at the moment is in a good spot. He's really not on the radar. All these other people are kind of taking that away from, because Xander's a huge threat, but it doesn't seem to be appearing that way to the players right now.
Yeah, like for the fans, I would say we all see, especially as the season has gone on, we see Xander as the potential player that he can be and what he is doing. Mm-hmm. I think the issue is perception's reality out there, and you know that just being out there.
Right.
And I think the perception is he's just a kid. Like he's in this first time ever, he goes into confessional this episode and says he's the leader now. Mm-hmm. And I was texting my friend, I'm like, that was such a weird confessional to get from Xander, because there was nothing from the last episode which made me feel he was in the leader and in charge. But like, I don't think he's in charge, but I think he has a seat at the table. Like, he's not at the kids' table anymore. Like, they invited him up, he's sitting, it's Thanksgiving, he now gets to sit at the adult table, get the turkey leg, you know.
Totally. And so Deshaun then is like kind of like pissed about how Shan called him the snake, how he's being portrayed in this light. And then Ricard is just like, hey, this is great for me because anything to put the heat away from, you know, people focusing on Ricard is good for Ricard's game. Cause Ricard is obviously, to me as a viewer and someone who's podcasted about this game, interviews players, kind of dissects things. You look like a player like Ricard, and he's just such a, just a great player and such a huge threat in the game, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's such a huge threat that, like, I, because we're two episodes out now. We're two episodes out from the season ending.
Yeah.
Next week's episode before the finale. Finale, we'll see top five down to final tribal.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel nervous for Ricard in the next episode, but I feel at this point, it's like, if he makes it through this next episode, Torch still has its flame. I think we see our winner right now. If he loses and he's out next week, I think the winner is one of Deshaun, Xander, or Erica. And it all depends on just how they're aligned at the end. Just because that, any Danny, I love Danny.
Me too.
I just, major. I even more this episode, I'll let you get into those topics. For sure. But I just don't think we've gotten enough. Those other things, we've gotten more game and more other factors than we got. This is the first time we got really personal with Danny.
Oh, yeah, right. Exactly. So I will say, like, back to Deshaun, he's realizing that after Tribal Council, you should just shut your mouth and just chill out because now Liana wants revenge on Deshaun. She's like, look, I'm out for blood. I want to get Deshaun out. So this is, we're kind of seeing, you know, this, as we see later in the episode, this balance of gameplay and moral dilemmas, which is just like normal life and decisions that you make throughout reality. So it's cool. Like, that's why I love Survivor. And because a lot of people hate when they bring in social issues or current events and things like that. And people like, you're just like, oh, I just want to, and I've even said this, like, God, like, I just want to watch gameplay and Survivor, and I don't want to have to think about the shit I see on social media all the time. But Survivor has always been the ultimate sociological experiment. And just throwing human beings from all walks of life into this crazy game and seeing what happens. And like on Survivor Africa, when we see the freaking hillbilly Big Tom and the tattooed rock and roller Lex playing this game together, and they end up becoming best friends. And in my situation, you have, you know, the gay Michael Snow event planner from New York City and the tattooed ridiculous BMX guy from Ohio, and we're best friends. And it's like, that is the beauty of Survivor. And I wish that in everyday life, people could like get along with just someone that might be different than you, because we're all different. And I think that's fucking cool. And tonight's episode touched on a lot of powerful shit. Anyways, at this point it is day 20, and this is where I got emotional. So Danny is talking about, this is the anniversary, 25th anniversary of his dad dying in a car accident.
Yeah.
So we're seeing all these pictures from home, and, you know, I'm sitting there with my boys, and like, I'm like watching, you know, and it's just crazy. Cause Danny's reflecting on how he had all this animosity. He was almost pissed that his dad died. Like, why, you know, why did you have to die when some people survive? And he's talking about how on Survivor, there's really not a lot to do. Sometimes there's a lot of time to think about things. And he's really having this moment where he's coming to the realization of letting any kind of bad vibes go. And that he needs to go visit his dad's grave. He needs to talk to his mom more about the situation. He needs to kind of move on. And it's this Survivor became this healing thing. And if Danny gets voted out next week, the fact that he got to play and experience this moment, that is like actually more important than money or anything else. And it's crazy because my dad died when I was 14. He died of lung cancer. It sucked, dude. I was a freshman in high school, which is what my son is right now. So I'm relating big time on what it's like to be on the island and you're all alone, really, except with the people that you're playing with. And you have a lot of time to reflect. And I'd sit out there at the ocean and I was just so thankful for just my life and just this beautiful world we live in. Like, there's a lot of hate right now and bullshit every day, but it's like watching the sun rise over the mountain. You're just reflecting on like what is actually important in your life. What was important to me was not my Instagram and my, you know, my luxuries and shit like that. It was like my family and the things that really matter to me. And I got emotional many times because I felt close to my dad and thought about it a lot just being out there. So it really hit me hard, and I thought it was great. And sometimes, like, there's moments like this, I'm like, come on, I want to see strategy. But tonight, man, I felt different. I really love this moment.
I did too. It's powerful. Yeah. And like, I'm sort of just like holding myself back too at right now. Like, I haven't had that experience, but I knew people growing up with similar family situations.
Yeah, right.
Whether it was a dad or a mom, and like, you would sort of see them, and it's sort of like how I interpreted Danny was interpreting. It was more so like he was interpreting it in the same level of like that your dad left.
Yeah, right.
One day he went to go grab the carton and the milk and never came back.
Yeah, right.
And yep. So there's this resentment, but it's also because of the age when it happened.
Yeah, he's like 8 years old or whatever.
Right, and it's like, but then you get older and it sort of gets repressed.
Yep.
And like, it's like subconscious hate, but you don't even know why it's hate anymore. It's just like, you just see it. So to have this moment of clarity, like, it's like you said, like, even if he doesn't win this game, like, being able to have the opportunity to have this type of, it's almost as if he's getting closure on the island finally, 25 years later for this incident. And it's beautiful. And I'm glad and happy to see people grow as individuals on these shows. And it's just like, you see Danny, you see him on social media too. He seems like a tremendous person inside and out. So I'm happy that he got to have this experience.
100%. 100%. I absolutely loved it. And we move right to the immunity challenge, which this, and you have more of a, you know, memory of kind of these challenges over history probably than I do, but I do know this is the challenge where Malcolm, I believe on Survivor Philippines, lost. Because I remember him just like dropping this ball and being like, fuck, and he loses. And then he ends up coming back for Survivor Karamoa in the very next season when he gets off the helicopter. And we're just like, who the hell's this Malcolm guy? He must have been a badass if we don't know who he is and they're bringing him right back. But yeah, the same challenge Malcolm lost on Survivor Philippines. So the challenge itself is just holding those wooden cylinders, holding pressure with a big silver ball. You're balancing it, and then over time you have to add more pieces. And these are the challenges that I love. We're watching on our Patreon page, Ad Free NSFW. You can find out all about our Patreon. If you like the podcast and want to support the podcast, become a patron. We have a Facebook group, a really awesome community we've built. We do special podcasts. We're doing coverage of Australian Survivor, the 2018 edition right now, breaking down that. We do a weekly Q&A. We do game nights. There's just so many awesome people. That's how we met people like you and Zach Hacker and a lot of people that are doing like the other podcasting on the Reality NSFW network. So you never know. You may be listening right now, become a patron, and maybe you have a great idea. You pitch it to Fairplay, and Fairplay might be like, that's a great idea. Let's do a podcast. This is all about fun and, you know, podcasting and talking about TV shows that we love. Yeah. And social issues and whatnot. I love it. So yeah, ad-free NSFW. But these challenges are so awesome. Like we're seeing in Australian Survivor, these individual type challenges. So I'm a big fan of it, but this is what I don't like. Jeff addresses, first of all, I don't mind this part. Jeff addresses the viewer breaking the fourth wall where he's saying, you know, what would you do? Or I forget the exact words he uses. Yeah. Right?
It was essentially, he explained in layman's terms, like, oh, there's going to be this big twist where you can sit down and protect yourself. But like, even if you play, you're risking your spot in the game. So what would you do in this situation? And I can tell you what we would do because I talked with all my friends about it for the past few weeks because we knew about it. I would believe I would rather be voted out of the game by my peers than potentially be executed by the game.
Yeah.
Executed by a twist. And I'm not saying all twists are bad. Like, I'm all for idols. I'm all for extra votes, seal of votes. Those are fine because it involves having to use strategy, gameplay, and social manipulation to execute those successfully. A game of Deal or No Deal does not involve that. Of like hoping that you have the flame or the $1 million in that little box. That's not how I would want to go out. So I feel personally, I would sit out. I wouldn't even care. Wouldn't try to go for immunity because I'm like, I'd rather have a chance to just strategize, know that I'm vulnerable, but not that I'm immediately out of the game.
So if everyone sits out, that means there is no twist. They just go.
No immunity.
There's no immunity challenge. Right? Yep. Like, is it so there would be no challenge?
Yep.
And then everyone would just go to tribal council and have to vote somebody out, correct?
Right. So you either do that or you would agree as a group to give one person immunity. So everyone else would sit out. One person puts their hand out, says, I'm playing. They automatically win immunity. There's no twist because no one ever actually played the game. But the issue is you're never going to have that because there's going to be people who think they're on the bottom and feel at that point in time, psychologically, like, I have to play, I have to risk it, because I can at least, if I'm not the first one out, maybe I win. Like, if only two people participate, I just need the other person to drop before me. Right. And I'm willing to take that risk because I, like, really the only person who should be playing is the person who thinks they're going home round. So, like, Deshaun playing makes sense. A lot of these other people did not make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Why would you even risk the potential to have to do this stupid twist by participating if you thought there's, you know, yeah, I mean,
like, I don't even blame Liana for sitting out because, like, her and Heather's logic for sitting out makes all the sense in the world. And it goes more in line with what I'm saying. It's they sat out because they're like, we know all these other people are stronger than us. We would be one of the first people to drop. Oh, yeah. So let's just deal with it. If I go out, I go out, but I'm not going to let a game impact my actual game.
So Heather and Liana sit out, everyone else plays. And the challenge, which I love this challenge, and I like the fact that some people have a strategy of holding these wooden cylinders with their hands like on top, like riding a bicycle, like on the handlebars, and others have underneath, like they're doing a curl on a weight bar.
Yep.
How would you hold it?
So what Ricard did was similar to what Amanda Kimmel did in, I believe, in Micronesia. They did this challenge at the final three. So she started out hands over.
Yeah.
And in the middle round went underneath.
Yeah.
For that, because you're using different muscles.
Yep.
So then if you switch, you do it. I personally know I would probably have to do the undergrip because I'm like Malcolm. I have shaky hands.
Okay.
So if I did it forward, they're going to start shaking. If I do it upside down or like the hands down, palms up, I can at least in my mind think, oh, I'm just lifting a weight right now. And I'm more steady with lifting a weight than having my hand as if I'm just riding a bike.
So yeah, as a BMXer for many, many years of my life, I probably would go like I'm have my hands on the handlebars and just literally focus. And I think my muscle memory from doing tricks and things like that, that would suit me better. But I like the fact that some people did, you know, like one time my, you know, Danny had his holding like a curling bar, and then the last round he switches the other way. Like people switched it up, which
that's why he won. I think. I think he won because he did the same position the first two rounds and then switched it up in the third.
Yeah.
I think that's the move, more likely than not. And he's already going to have more of an advantage in this challenge if he has good, like if he has steady hands, he's in a good spot because even with the fatigue of not eating, he's still leaps and bounds the strongest guy. He's a professional athlete.
Oh,
football player. You literally are working out your hands and your arms, your forearm strength, like all that, so that because you're trying to drag another human being down.
Yeah, right.
So
Deshaun, I am too. And so Deshaun, he's out within 3 seconds. I didn't really see that coming.
I mean, didn't see that coming either.
And a lot of people, including I think maybe Lex was talking about this. A couple of these challenges this season, they've ended very quickly. Like the challenge that Christian on David versus Goliath stood up there, whatever, forever.
Davey even said it was because they changed up. Christian was able to like get away with moving his back off of the post. And I think he said that he believes Jeff in production told all the cast members, like, you need to keep your back against, you can't relax it or you'll be out.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think with that, the stress comes a lot quicker than if you're able to stretch it out a little bit, you're going to be able to go a lot longer, especially if you're someone smaller. But I agree. The challenges have been going quicker. I would like to attribute it to both physical and mental fatigue because yes, it's only 26 days. People will think, oh, that's easier. It's accelerated gameplay because you don't have the days off anymore. So I think you're also consistently mentally drained.
And people like that's the thing. It's a good point. Like they haven't had much food at all this season. And as a viewer, you don't realize how starved these people are. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I'm not saying it's the hardest season ever. So like Eliza Orleans, don't come at me. Brian Corden from Guatemala, don't come at me. It's different. It's a different type of stress and fatigue and for new players.
Yeah.
I think Guatemala is probably the hardest season and maybe Africa / Gabon just because you don't have an actual like water source.
Yeah.
But
100%. Yeah,
it's crazy. And I think it does have a factor, even if it's less days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we see Deshaun drops immediately, which means he is going to have to do this game of chance deal. And Heather and Liana were on the sit out bench. Erica, she ends up going out, and it's a battle between Xander, Ricard, and Danny. And then Ricard ends up switching, and so does Danny in the toward the end on their strategy, why we think Danny won. And so Danny ends up winning this because Ricard drops immediately after Ricard drops, Xander drops within like a second.
Yeah, that was crazy how that worked out. I don't think Xander intentionally dropped right after Ricard. I think it was literally just a matter of his forearms, you could see, were like straining.
Oh yes. So when Danny wins, he just kind of drops down to his knees. You can tell. I mean, this guy is a football player and has been probably with some of the biggest crowds in a football stadium with the adrenaline going. But Survivor, he's out there, and this moment of him winning just solidifies how his previous comments about talking about his dad and making his dad proud and he wins this immunity, it kind of makes all that stuff even more powerful and worth it. So I love how that played out. I don't think it could have been any more perfect, honestly. And I love Danny. Like we said, he's a great player. He's a great character.
I think he is such an underrated player. Like the general fan, the casual fan base does not understand the work this man is putting in. I would love to be able to talk to Danny after this season to get more in depth over what his game was, because I have to believe, based off what I see and what I can interpret from the show, his social game is impeccable, because every single round where something could blow up in front of like him and Deshaun and Ricard and Shane, he's not the one who gets blamed. He's not the one who's gets yelled at. He's not the one called the snake for doing the same exact moves. He's chilling. Still has not had a vote cast against him in this game. And it brings up like this. I'm going to take Ethan out of the equation, because like he didn't become like, he played soccer, but I don't know what part of what we call, if he actually got to the pro level.
Yeah.
At this point in time, for a first time player, because obviously Culpepper gets to the end in Game Changers, could we make an argument that Danny's one of the best former pro athletes to play the game of Survivor?
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, we've seen Jeff Kent, we've seen a couple basketball player.
We see Cliff Robinson, Scott Pollard, Crystal Cox. I even have like a list somewhere. There's like, including Danny, I think there's like 20, 21 like pro athletes, including Ethan, who have played the game of Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Danny's awesome. I mean, he's one of my favorite just players and someone I want to meet and hang out with. Like, he's one of my favorites this season. And I think he's playing a great game. I mean, he's in a good – I mean, if he makes it to the end of the game, I mean – if he's up against someone like Erica, or, you know, I don't know. It's interesting.
I think if he's up with, I think he needs to be there at the end with Erica and Heather. If he's with those two, I think that's his best chance to win, because I don't think the jury, for the most part, respects.
No, if Erica or Heather win this game, I'm going to be so pissed.
I know you guys shit on Erica. I want to say, I think she, before we go into our ad break, I think she does have an incredible mind for the game. Mm-hmm. Like, the way her mind works, it all makes sense in terms of being a game player. I think there's probably just some things that if she could work on, it, like, that we're not seeing. Because obviously there's something that's rubbing. Maybe it's she's too out in front of her gaming with people that like makes them not want to work with her or trust her. Right. But there's potential in her. Like, she's someone who, like, if she could find out what her faults were, could be a very dangerous player. Because like, she's a dangerous player right now because of how she's able to position herself.
Yeah.
No one sees her as a threat, but she's in the middle of the decision making.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you. So Danny wins, so he's got immunity, and Deshaun is going to be having to do this do or die twist. So we're going to take a little break, a word from our sponsors, and we will be right back to discuss all that goes on leading up the tribal in this awesome episode.
Ho, 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 gentlemen! The holidays have come early here at Manscaped, the leading men's hygiene brand. Manscaped just launched new products, including their ultra-new, ultra-premium body wash and a 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. It's time to give yourself or someone who needs it the gift of beautiful skin, hair, and balls this holiday season. Go to manscaped.com and use promo code SURVIVOR for 20% off and free shipping.
Jingle balls to the walls. Fellas, listen up. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past, and it's possible you have Santa's beard in your pants. Could be Matt Bischoff's. It's time to leave your significant other some cookies and milk at the bottom of your chimney. I'm talking about Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Oh, now, I had a lot of sex when I got back from my last appearance, I literally had sex 8 times in 12 hours. And I did some damage down there, fellas. I did some serious damage. I had to call my doctor. There was swelling. There was everything else. It was bad. But you know what wasn't bad? My balls, because I shaved them with Manscaped. Oh, there was the lighting at the top of the tree, but the bottom of the tree looked perfect.
Inside the Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the Signature Lawnmower 4.0. This electric trimmer has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology to reduce cuts on your nuts. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. It's like a gift to your partner with less mess. The Manscaped Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant, moisturizer, and toner. It's time to keep your North Pole feeling and smelling fresh.
This hygiene bundle will also come with a pair of Manscaped anti-chafing boxers. God bless it. I needed and used that this week. I promise you. The perfect package for your perfect package. Manscaped is going beyond the groin with their new ultra premium body wash. It's infused with aloe vera and sea salt to keep your skin feeling clean, nice, and moisturized.
They also just launched their new 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner, which has key ingredients with benefits that include hydrating, nourishing, conditioning the scalp, and strengthening your hair at the same time. Tis the season to load up on Manscaped products. So get yourself, your dad, your brother, your friends, your neighbor, the best gift of all, the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Reality NSFW listeners get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. Every guy out there needs to add Manscaped to their wish list this holiday season.
And this is Santa Claus talking to you once again. Get 20% off and free shipping with promo code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. That is 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And use promo code SURVIVOR. Clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year.
We're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you love, but without all the bad stuff. And it's amazing as a midnight snack right before bed.
0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories per serving.
It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. And build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and my favorite, maple waffle. Now, Magic Spoon recently brought back their 2 super popular flavors, cookies and cream and maple waffle. Thank goodness. But they're back permanently. And when these flavors were first introduced for a limited time, they sold out extremely quickly. Now, I'm here to let you know you can get them again or try them for the first time. Why? Because they're delicious and indulgent.
Johnny, Magic Spoon has so many great flavors that I really enjoy, and even my kids enjoy them. We have the cocoa, fruity frosted, peanut butter. All these are really great combinations. They enjoy waking up in the morning and getting some Magic Spoon right off to start their day great before they head off to school. I think everybody listening should give Magic Spoon a try, or if you've tried them already, it's time to reorder. Let's get you some more Magic Spoon and get your day started right.
Hey, when I finish a podcast late at night, the first thing I'm thinking is not sleep. It's let me grab a delicious bowl of Magic Spoon before I go to bed.
So go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use the code SURVIVOR to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this podcast.
We are back. We are back. And Ricard, right after, you know, the challenge that Danny wins, out of the immunity challenge, Ricard says that he wants Deshaun to die. Not in a literal sense, but when it comes to the potential for this twist, he definitely wants Deshaun out.
Yeah, I love how all these people had to keep reiterating that they don't mean they actually want him to literally die. They just want him to die in the game.
Well, you know what's so crazy is I just want to touch on this. So when you play Survivor, you're putting yourself out there for millions of people to see. Social media is a brutal thing. And, oh, yes. And I'll see screenshots that pop up that Ricard will get from people that say the most horrible shit. When, you know, Shan being a pastor and people saying the most horrible shit, it's just like, try, please, people. If you're listening to this podcast and you're one of those people that gets really invested in a player and you get pissed if your favorite player gets voted out, this is a game. And I know that emotions can run high even as a viewer, but try to keep, you know, negative comments to yourself. It does nothing but cause pain to the cast that decided to play Survivor because it's an adventure of a lifetime. And the thing is Survivor takes its toll on you, not only playing the game of Survivor, but watching yourself on TV and the backlash from your coworkers and your friends and your family. It's really difficult. And they're trying to do a better job post game for mental health purposes, yep, for people to counsel them because it can really mess you up. So all I'm saying, try to be kind. This is a game, and we have Johnny Fairplay. Bring him in. It's probably going to sound like dog shit, but yeah, Johnny probably. Fairplay.
Oh, he sounds good.
It does. Good? Yeah. Yeah.
I'm heading to go play pinball. We just wrapped. It was amazing. And for everyone watching here, we did a little 10-minute podcast, me, Figgy, and Libby, breaking down the show and giving our winner picks.
Oh, nice. Hell yeah. That's awesome. Yeah,
it's a really cool deal. Like, oh my God, we will definitely be back at Doghouse Saloon. It is that video screen is insane. And very excited.
Well, so, you know, if you had such a great time there, maybe you guys want to talk about this. I'll pull up on the board.
That right there. We will be at we will be in Cincinnati in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
at Bishop's Quarter. Go to SurvivorAfterHours.com. Get your tickets right now. We're gonna be joined by Matthew Sash Lanahan,
Matthew Sash Lanahan, Marcus Lehman should be there. Hopefully, yeah. Roger Bingham. I hit up Angela Perkins from Ghost Island.
Maybe Lil Morris will be in the house.
We shall see. But yeah, go to SurvivorAfterHours.com. $75 for VIP. Meet and greet autograph picks is badass. $25 general admission. It's my hometown. December 15th, come out. You do not want to miss a chance to watch Survivor with other survivors. And Johnny Fairplay is going to be here in Cincinnati, the Loveland, Ohio area. So, Johnny, real quick, what was your overall impression of tonight's episode? I found it to be very powerful. I cried multiple times. I thought it was great, besides the shitty twist that I of chance, which I wasn't a big fan of.
Yeah, I was tainted by the twist. Like, if Deshaun had gone home on that, it might have killed the season for me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But he didn't, and I thought he would, because I'm looking at the time. I'm just like, there's no time for tribal. Deshaun's going home. So I thought they did a really good job, kind of the bait and switch there. So I'll give them credit for that. So no, it's a great episode. I think everyone had a good time at the viewing party. I had a good time watching, and yeah, absolutely a powerful episode, and one that people will be talking about for a long time to come. I'm sure white Twitter hated it, and you know, I got a block button. It's cool.
What do you think? Russell's gonna have another YouTube episode? He hasn't done anything since.
I think Russell's head exploded tonight, and it's, I'm cool with that.
Right on, man. Right on. Well, so you're going to play pinball. I'm glad you got to stop by. And are you wanting to chat, or are you wanting to hop off here? Can you hear us?
I'm sorry.
Are you wanting to hop off, or are you wanting to join us, or do you want to join us for the last part?
Yeah. No. I just wanted to say hello, and thank you for holding down the fort. I will be back next week, and boom, in 2 weeks, join us live, Loveland/Cincinnati, Ohio. At Bishop's Quarter, SurvivorAfterHours.com. You guys rock. I will be on a plane tomorrow morning listening to this podcast in its entirety.
Right on. Well, have a great rest of your night, Johnny. Thanks for stopping by, man.
Thank you.
All right, man. Cheers. So, Alex,
yeah.
We have this is, you know, after the challenge, this is, you know, leading up to this, you know, tribal time. You don't know what's going to happen, but Deshaun and Danny are talking,
mm-hmm.
and Deshaun is saying, you know, hey, look, if I go out tonight, at least I'm not getting voted out.
Yeah, y'all can't say you voted me out.
Yeah. Which, you know, you got to have a little bit of a kind of lightheartedness to this, even though it is kind of a really stupid kind of deal. But yeah, we see Danny talking about now how this Survivor experience has helped him let a lot of things go, and he's going to make, you know, feels like he's made his father proud. So this is kind of a closure to the whole, you know, before the immunity challenge, him winning and now finalizing that story of saying that. So I think that was cool. Then we have Danny and Xander talking. This is where, you know, Danny is a strategic player. He's no dummy. He's playing the game. He is saying, I want Ricard out. And he's talking to Xander about this. But Xander's like, look, you know, Xander has this confessional where Xander's like, look, if I vote out Ricard, then I'm the next person on the chopping block as far as being someone who's a big physical threat and has a high, you know, probability of winning challenges late in the game. So I totally get where Xander is coming from on not wanting Ricard out of the game. And Xander ends up telling Ricard that Danny and Deshaun are gunning for him, which Ricard is then like, Ricard's not happy about it, but what can you expect when you're that big of a threat this deep into the game? It is what it is. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, Ricard treated Xander better than he treated Shan last round. Xander told him they're gunning for him. He's like, okay, well, I'll help you out. Instead of going, I think now it's time to remove Xander from the game. Mm-hmm. No, but you know what? It's a good thing he did choose this path, because ultimately I think for the last two episodes, very subtly, Ricard has been building rapport with Xander.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think there's a game sense of, yes, Ricard's a shield. We can get him out next round or two rounds from now. But I also think Ricard's done enough work where Xander feels, no, Ricard is more than that. He is an ally. And at this point in the game, with the numbers so tight, I need every ally I can get.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to ask you, can Ricard be trusted by Xander? Is that something that you think that Ricard, if they made a deal right now, if Ricard said, Xander, you and I, you mm-hmm. know, to the end of the game, is that something that he's going to keep his word on? Or is Ricard truly the ultimate snake to where he would burn anyone he could to win the million?
Well, I'll take your question and send a question right back to you. If you're in this position, you're in final seven, the numbers are tight, and you are looking for people, does it matter if it's the truth?
You know, I guess not. I mean,
it's sort of like what Shan and Ricard said with each other.
Yeah.
It's like Shan said at Tribal last week. Mm-hmm. Everyone's liars in this game. It's just a matter of who are you still willing to trust despite knowing that they are lying to you.
Yeah.
And right. So it's like it's all incentive based, really. And like you need to look at Ricard as someone who's an incentive based player. He's mm-hmm. not playing with his emotions. If he was playing with his emotions, Shan doesn't go. Mm-hmm. Deshaun goes or something. Yeah. He's very logic-based. He's going to do what's best interest for him. So your role now is let me be what's best for him. Mm-hmm. And as long as that buys me a few rounds,
yeah,
I'm cool. I'm cool with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and right now everyone knows that Ricard is a big threat. It's not just the viewer. The people playing are like Xander and Eric are talking, and Eric is like, look, you know, he's a big threat. And, you know, as much as I'm not like a fan of Erica, I think Erica's self-aware of the game and her surroundings and is trying to play a strategic game. But Erica is also someone that, you know, Ricard, let's say, like, can you trust Erica? She's kind of, you can mm-hmm. tell in Erica's, in her demeanor and her vibe, she gets really nervous, really sketchy. And he's kind of concerned about that. He knows that Heather is golden. Like, Heather's,
yeah.
you know, just kind of going to do whatever he wants her to do.
Which is surprising because I would feel that she is lockstep more with Erica than with Xander. Mm-hmm. Like, because they've done the whole game together. Like, it was literally the reason why Shan was targeting Heather, because mm-hmm. Erica wasn't an option. She's like, well, get rid of Heather because she's the attachment to Erica. Mm-hmm. So she'll do what Erica says.
Right.
But I also think Heather's, like, she's not a good player. Let's be real. You know,
yeah.
It's still Queen Heather, but she's not a good player. But not everyone's going to be a good player in these games. But it's knowing who is it that you need to be a part of to keep moving forward a day. Mm-hmm. And I think she correctly sees being with Xander, Erica, and Ricard benefits her, because, like, really, she should be looking at it like, why would people want to take me out?
Yeah.
Right. At this point in time, why would they want me to? I just need to keep my head down. Say mm-hmm. yes, do what I say, and mm-hmm. there's no reason for people to want to take me out at that point.
Yeah. If I'm Heather and watching this season, I would be so unbelievably disappointed in my lack of confessionals. And I'd be like, was I – I mean, a couple – like, if you ask me next season when we're covering season 42 and someone mentions, remember Heather from last season? I'll be like,
you're going to be like, who?
Yeah, like,
Tiffany?
Who? Yeah, like,
you're going to like start talking about Tiffany, and we're going to have to remind you, no, that's Tiffany.
Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious. So, you know, we get this, you know, brief strategy gameplay. I mean, the episode was a lot of, you know, feel good, powerful moments early on in the episode. But we do finally get a little bit of strategy. And then at this time, as I'm watching it, East Coast time, I look at my clock. It's 8:36 p.m. when Tribal starts. So that's 24 minutes of things going on at Tribal. So I'm like, okay, things are about to get real interesting. Because, you know, usually it's not that long of a period of time. Now, on Australian Survivor, Tribals are always very long, but American Survivor.
But they also have like 80-minute episodes daily.
Yes, exactly. So the first thing I noticed when the jury comes in at Tribal, Shan looks not happy. She looks like she's crying or something. What is the deal? Did you notice that? She just seems like
I think she just seems serious.
Okay.
Like I think she's content with her placement, but there's still people that are there that she's, you know, for lack of a better term, bitter towards. And, you know, rightfully so, like, because we get into it in this tribal, and I'll let you lead that part of the discussion, and I'll gladly add in, but she feels burned by Deshaun, mm-hmm. burned by, not by Liana, but like burned by Danny. She has active interest in seeing Liana and Ricard do well in this game. So obviously, as it we see the end result, she's very disappointed seeing that go, because like she was very close to Liana. So obviously, did she truly think Liana could win the game? I would like to say she knew that she couldn't, but that she would do her damnedest to try to sway the jury to vote for her friend. But that's another part of the real life side of the game that I like. I like that we're seeing the jury members be emotional, whether it's like them being enthusiastic or them being serious. It's like,
yeah, and Shannon,
I don't want them to be just Stonewall.
No. So Heather, we see speak for the first time, probably this episode, of kind of like why she sat out of the challenge.
Right.
She knew that, hey, I'm useless. I'm not gonna win. I'd definitely be the first out, so I'm sitting out. And then Xander says, you know, this is a high risk, high reward situation. And what do you think about that?
So I love Xander.
I
love
too.
Xander, mm-hmm. But it's part of him being a 20-year-old trying to please daddy, Jeff Probst. And don't say that. Don't say that, Xander. That's rewarding bad behavior by Jeff, putting these stupid twists in that don't need to be in the game, that the players don't get to have a choice in using or not using. It's forced upon them. Yeah. No, that's bad. Mm-hmm. I like the, like, you can say the lack of food and shorter days to create increased gameplay and like how you had to get the idols. I'm fine with all that stuff.
Yeah.
Don't say all of this is good. It's right. Not all good.
No, I'm
the positive one on this podcast, and I'm even saying that.
Yeah, right, totally. And this is the last night that someone can play the shot in the dark.
Thank God. Good.
Which I think we only saw that played out once this whole season.
Good, because these players are smart.
Yeah, and I agree. I'm not a fan of the shot in the dark. Deshaun, then, you know, he's kind of explaining why he decided to partake in the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he really necessarily thought he would go out 3 seconds into the challenge. I just think that was very bad luck. I think nerves.
Wasn't his challenge.
Yeah, wasn't his challenge. And like you said, like, they're tired and there is a lot of nerves going in a challenge like this, and you could easily just blow it real fast. And Deshaun is, you know, he's having to do this stupid twist tonight, but do you think that in Deshaun's mind that if Deshaun makes it through this, do you think that he thinks that he's going to be able to
navigate
his way to the end of the game?
I think he does. And honestly, I wouldn't count it against him for being able to do that. And if he is able to rebound and he's there at the end, mm-hmm. whether it's the final three or final two, because we still don't truly know. I think if I was on that island and I was seeing him rebound from his positioning, he would have a good shot at my vote,
because
he's also very, and they all are. So I shouldn't really raise him up and say the others aren't, but they're all so articulate, and like the artistry in their words and how they're able to speak on these real life situations and these game situations. I'm blown away by this cast every single episode.
Yeah,
they just hit a fucking home run.
They did, and so I want to get into that. So Ricard stands by his choice, you know, voting out Shan. Like, he's owning up to it and is telling Deshaun, you know, I did my move and that's what it was, etc. But back to what you were saying about this cast and how articulate they speak. When you get on Survivor, anyone that is watching this that wants to make a video for a future season, they want good storytellers. They cast you based off of the confessional. If you can't give a good confessional, you will not be cast on the show. If you can't answer questions in a badass, eloquent way at tribal council when Jeff speaks to you, you're not going to get cast on the show. Now, I mean, some people slip by and are duds. Yeah. That like Heather, for example, but you can totally tell. I mean, everyone on this tribal, even Erica that has spoken, is like awesome in how they're speaking.
And it doesn't feel forced. And no. Let me know if you agree with me here. And you don't have to.
Yeah.
There's people that are very good at giving confessionals and speaking at tribal, but the last handful of seasons, you definitely have had people who have been like in the narrator side, but especially at tribal, would come across very forced. Mm-hmm. Like forced, I need to make this analogy. I always have to have an analogy. Even if it doesn't make sense, it has to be there because that's what you do on Survivor. You put an analogy out there. This tribal was real.
Yeah.
Like, this wasn't them trying to make an analogy. It was them talking about real shit.
It was. And it was them talking about real powerful shit, true human emotion, which is what I love. There was no whispering and bullshit going on. This was, and that's why they showed it. And that's why there's going to be people that like this and there's going to be people that don't. But I absolutely love this. And there's times I don't like when they talk about political shit and whatever. Tonight, first of all, Deshaun is speaking and he gets emotional. And this is where I start tearing up.
Same.
Because Deshaun is talking about, you know, going into this game, you have this gameplay and you also have the moral dilemma. This diverse cast. This is the first time that we can really make a difference and have this Black Alliance, which some people, for some reason, are like, in the social media world, don't like, which I feel that, look, I am not a Black person. I don't know what it's like to be a minority that's judged, or if you get pulled over by the police and you got an automatic, you know, target against you.
Right.
And I was kind of telling my kids, you know, when Liana, and I know I'm skipping around here, but Liana talks about like being a Black woman. You're always going to be the Black woman, right?
Yeah.
And so like the only thing I can compare shit to, and this is by not, I'm, you know, they're born Black, right? So like, but for me and my thing I want to tell you is there's been many times where I have long hair, a beard and tattoos. I look different than everyone. And I go to, let's say, my kids' basketball end of the year party where everyone's talking about football drafts and the World Series and shit. And I'm like, I love fucking beards and Survivor and fucking Alice in Chains. Like I'm different. So like, I'm always, eyes are on me. I go to Chipotle and it's like, when I have my long, super long fucking beard, people judge me big time. And, but that was self-induced, like, because I chose to look, to grow my fucking beard to the ground and get tattoos all over the place. So like, you know, okay. But I kind of like, I understand slightly to a degree of just being different. And the fact that Black people a lot of times are judged because they have different color skin than you or I, which is fucking crazy to me that this shit even exists as even an issue. It's just like human beings should be judged on being a human being. Gay, straight, atheist, Christian, who fucking cares? And we're dealing in a world right now that's so fucking divided. And just to see the emotions, and then when Liana gives this beautiful, eloquent speeches, dude, and I'm like, it really, truly touched me and moved me. I'm just like, she explained things and she even addressed the viewer. Like, I know some of you are not going to like, we're talking about this stuff right now because you want to see gameplay, but this is important. And I thought it was beautiful. I think that there are going to be people that I don't want to see this kind of stuff on Survivor. I'm turning the channel. But there's going to be a lot of other people who, including Worthless Heather, I'm totally kidding, Heather. You're probably a great person. But even Heather says, like, first of all, we see Xander saying, I completely respect all of you. I have no idea what it's like. I'm a white surfer bro with long hair. I've never had to worry about shit. And I fucking respect all of you. And then you even have Heather saying, I'm completely like, this is opening my mind. I literally had no idea. You know, and that's the thing. There's certain people that literally have zero fucking clue of the bad shit that black people have to fucking deal with.
Or even what those like specific people that she's playing with had to deal with. And they're what they're mentally going through on that island every day. And I love everything you said because I'm on the same boat. I loved this tribal. I found even more powerful, even more powerful than Deshaun's crying over the struggle of voting out Shan, who he loves as a almost as a sister.
Yes.
Danny and his just of his age and with like with I'm not saying he's old. He's in his 30s, but like like he has experience. He's lived a life.
Yep.
What I found very promising and hopeful for us as like a society is how Liana talked about it and how Xander reacted to it. And like these two 20-year-olds, now 21-year-olds, and the poise and the maturity and the ability to listen and understand and just be there for each other, be like, I'm here to support you. And Danny saying, like, I look at this cast, I see a bunch of allies. And that's what we need. That's what we need. We need to know that people are going to be allies. And honestly, this is something where, like, in the future, when I have a family, I have kids, like, this is a episode I would want to show my kids because I'm like, this is how I want you guys to be. Like, yeah, you need to be accepting. Like, why would, like, for the people who give Ricard hate on social media and the stuff they say about him and his family, it's like, would you ever want someone typing that about you, your child, your wife, your like anyone that you are close to, would you want seeing those happen because they voted out someone in a game? Like, things are bigger than the game. This is life, and there's no point having hate in this life. We should be raising each other up. We should be helping. We should be acknowledging the past that prevented from repeating in the future.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, you need to be an active listener, hear what they are saying, and register it and figure out what can I do to help and be a part of this better tomorrow.
And you got to be open-minded as a viewer and not so stuck in the same old, well, this isn't like old Survivor. And
it actually is more like old Survivor.
You know, exactly. So the fact that this is a microcosm of society, and Danny says this cast and this vibe that's going on and the people that are watching, millions of people, this cast, they're going to be able to advocate in the future. If they go to, if they come to a charity event in Cincinnati and you have kids that are fans coming and they see just people from all different walks of life that they can identify with. And I don't know, man, it's like, it was a feel good moment. I think it was beautiful. Typically there's times where I really hate when like politics shit comes into play, but I was not feeling that way with this. This was like, no one was specifically trying to be like, I'm going to show them my 15 minutes of fame and try to really push my agenda. They're just, when you're on the island of Survivor and you're playing, it's like you are stripped of everything except your true emotions and your soul, and you're put to the ultimate test. And that brings out the real you. Like, I don't care, you know, if you're a nice guy, if you're an asshole, like people can say, oh, I was edited a certain way, your true colors will shine through in Survivor. And yeah, I think we have a beautiful cast. And
yeah, they're a beautiful cast. I want them, like, if they just so happen to be listening, like, there's a lot of the, like, you'll get a lot of hate. That, let's be real, that is a vocal minority. There are a lot of people that are here to raise you up, be your allies as well, and be supporters and fans. Like, and that's what we are. We are fans of a show, and by being fans of the show, we are a fan of you and what you guys bring to this show and this franchise. We appreciate all of you. But yeah, now I guess it's time to, after all that great speech.
Oh, yeah. It was beautiful.
And Deshaun's just like, oh, Jeff, can we just keep talking?
Oh, can we keep talking? So we got to go to this twist where
Deal or No Deal.
There are three boxes. One box, you open it up and it has an image of fire, which means fire represents life. You are safe in the game and you're not out. There will be a vote. There are two boxes that have a skull, which means death. You are gone. And I'm like, shit, man, a one in three. Like, this is just straight up luck, really. So Deshaun ends up saying, choosing this first box, this is what I want to choose. So then Jeff says, well, this is the one you choose. Let me open up one of these and see what it is. So Jeff opens up one and it shows a skull, right? So he's like, oh, shit. That leaves two boxes left. One with fire, which would be, you would be safe. One with a skull. And Jeff offers Deshaun the chance to change his mind and swap and pick a different one. But Deshaun sticks with his plan. He said, no, I'm really feeling the certain one. Dramatic. They open it up and bam, it's fire, which means Deshaun is safe. I couldn't believe it. And at this point, I'm thinking, dude, is this all planned? Is the other one that Jeff didn't open fire also? And this is
like,
all
there's always going to be people who think that. I would like to take him at his word and that two of them had a skull, one of them had fire. I think by him saying, oh, let me open one of them, like, I don't know. I feel personally, I'd be like, oh, I feel good with my one that I picked because he's obviously going to show me a skull here.
He's
not going to show me the fire on the first one. That's not good TV.
No. So it played out wonderful as far as like, even though Alex and I don't like the twist, for TV purposes, it played out wonderfully.
Right.
Still
don't want to see it ever come on the show.
No, again. Fuck no. So I'm like, holy shit, he's got the flame one, which means Deshaun is safe. He's not immediately out, and it's time to go to a vote. And this is where it gets real. The votes are cast because you, like I said, you have Danny and Deshaun and, you know, knowing that Ricard is this big threat, this is a chance to get him out, which is smart. And I'm like, shit, as much as I like Ricard, that's a pretty smart move to get Ricard out. But at the end of the day, it's a 3-3 split between Liana and Ricard. And then the last vote, which is actually Xander, was able to play his extra vote. Xander plays that, which is smart for Xander, because Ricard is safe. Liana goes home. And because Xander had that extra vote, Xander wanted to keep Ricard around for Xander's personal game, because he knows that if Ricard goes, then Xander is the next big threat as far as a challenge beast.
Yep.
So I don't blame Xander for playing this extra vote.
You want to play your stuff. Let's be real. And like, I think it's more important to use the, it's like knowing when to use them. I think this was the right moment to use it. You know, Erica was on the edge. I would like to believe, and this is me creating headcanon, and we'll see if it's true or not after the fact. I would like to say that he probably approached Erica who's shaking, still trying to figure out which way she wants to go. And she's probably leaning towards taking out Ricard. Mm-hmm. But Xander probably goes, hey, I understand you're shaky. I just want you to know I'm using my extra vote. Mm-hmm. I'm putting both my votes on Lyanna. If we have to vote, Ricard's putting his vote on Lyanna. Heather's going to put his vote on Lyanna. Mm-hmm. So let's do Lyanna. Like, I feel like it's like, I would like to hope that he used it in that point, like as like a power move to be like, don't go against this because I will tie it up and we will still get Lyanna out because I get to use that extra vote again in the revote.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. I mean, I think, like I said, for Xander's game, good move. You know, we didn't, you know, a lot of these crazy twists, I'm glad that a lot of them haven't really come majorly into play. Like, as far as there hasn't been someone using that fucking, whatever it's called, the shot in the dark. Yeah, a lot of people weren't using that.
Only Sydney, and Sydney went home, and Sydney's really the only person who really was screwed over by both that and the hourglass. Idols, you know, not having your vote, that's one thing. You know, like Nasir and Shan go out with idols in their pocket. That's gameplay.
Yeah.
And you know, Shan used an extra vote successfully, and now we saw Xander correctly use an extra vote to secure his desired result. So this is Survivor.
It is, and I'm glad I'm not seeing Whispering a Tribal tonight. Overall, for me, very powerful episode on many fronts. I dug it. I hope you guys did. And like I said, Johnny Fairplay tonight, he popped in briefly. If you're just tuning in with us and you want to go back and watch this from the beginning, Johnny does pop in to say, hey, he was in Nashville, Tennessee tonight at a viewing party with Figgy and Libby. I was going to say Lyanna, my fucking brain's all over the place. So we have two episodes left of Survivor season 41. We have next week, which Fairplay will be with Alex and I. And then the week after that, December 15th, Johnny Fairplay is going to be in my hometown, Cincinnati, Ohio. And Loveland is a small little badass town within the suburbs of Cincinnati. It's going to be at Bishop's Quarter. And it's in Loveland, Ohio. Get information and get your tickets now at SurvivorAfterHours.com. SurvivorAfterHours.com. $75 VIP gets you a meet and greet. You get to show up early. You get a buff. You get autographed photos. It's a badass time. 7:30 is when the general admission is. It's $25 for general admission. If you've never come to watch Survivor with Survivors, it is a great time. And I'm happy that Johnny is going to be coming to my hometown yet again. We've done this in Cincinnati before. So be there. I'm assuming, you know, usually like Roger Bingham shows up, Marcus Lehman from Survivor Gabon, Matthew Sash Lenahan from Survivor Nicaragua. Some amazing racers live locally. Angela Perkins from Ghost Island. Hopefully she'll be here. And maybe, just maybe, Lil Morris from Pearl Islands. She kind of has a little vendetta against Fairplay. I'm trying to get her to show up. I don't know if she will or not. She actually lives in the town that we're doing this in, but we shall see. But hope to see you there. The finale is going to be awesome. And you know what? This has been a different season.
It's been a different season. It's been on the up. The post-merge has definitely, I think, brought the season up, I feel, for a lot of viewers.
Yes.
I'm loving this season. I'm like putting my hate of the unnecessary twist in a box. Mm-hmm. They're still there, but I'm loving the cast. I'm loving the gameplay that these people are doing. I love that for the most part, they're avoiding all the crap that's been put into this season and playing the game of Survivor. They're just a home run by casting. I hope that this is a sign of casting to come. And while you guys are there in Cincinnati watching the finale, I will still be here on finale night. We will see who I bring in to talk the finale with. And obviously, for those who want to watch more of Reality NSFW content, become a patron at freensfw.com. You'll see Matt and Johnny do Q&As, which is their favorite podcast to do each week. They get questions from the patrons by the patrons about anything and everything. Doesn't just need to be about Survivor. It can be about anything. They're covering Australian Survivor. And Matt, you just finished Australian Survivor 2018, correct?
Well, this coming week is going to be the last episode and the reunion show. So we have one more episode of 2018. But Australian Survivor, if you guys have a chance to watch it, if you love Survivor, if you have Paramount Plus, watch Australian Survivor. It's fucking great. And Alex is going to be on the finale episode. And then we do a deep dive podcast where Lauren Pratt and Alex Trebino have guests really doing a in-depth dive into each and every episode. So Reality NSFW on your phone, wherever you listen to this podcast, or on YouTube. Johnny and Alex and Lauren are doing the challenge coverage. It's very fun. We have a great community. Become a patron now if you want to be involved in the community. And if not, we're just thankful that you guys are listening to our coverage. And Alex, until next week, we love you all. We'll see you next time. And I can't wait to see how season 41 plays out. See you all.
Peace.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually tastes great and is convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym.
I am so happy that Lucy is sponsoring us. Ever since they came on board, I have gotten no less than 5 of my friends transitioned over to Lucy and put their cigarettes down. They like the gum. I'm used to seeing the packages all around. This stuff is great, and it's really helping people make much healthier choices. So get on board and join the Lucy movement.
Hey, it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple that you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. That's lucy.co and be sure to use that promo code Survivor.
This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right, we're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone, or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry, Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BLUECHEW.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we